Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Hello and welcome to back to another podcast. Here we go. We're going to start off with a little PC gamer taboo.
Taboo.
Are you guys familiar with the game Taboo and how it works?
I remember it has a really annoying buzzer.
You can't say a word to try to describe something. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so Chad, you're the describer. Bobby, you're the guesser.
Wait, can we get a little more clarification? You can't say a word to describe something.
So I'm trying to get you to say a game. Something, a game. And I can't use the words that he has listed here to describe it. So if you were trying to get him to say Super Mario Brothers, maybe it was side-scroller is one of the words that...
God damn, that was my first two... No.
All right. So you're going to...
Yep.
I'm this one?
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm trying to guess what game you're getting at? Okay.
Okay. So mostly black and white with a little red.
Divinity, Original Sin?
And you had a bag, and you were trying to carry messages from...
Nope!
Oh, it's got messenger.
Yep.
Did you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, I don't...
Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge.
Yeah. So, okay.
I wouldn't have got that. You started off really strong. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, you would have been talking for a while, though. I wouldn't have got that one. I played like half an hour of Mirror's Edge.
Hmm. Bob, did you play it, John?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was right.
It was very quick.
Physics, NVIDIA Physics came out, was like all the rage.
There's a new one that's out that's a 2D one that they were talking about that's like Mirror's Edge, but it's 2D with a lot of parkour.
Yeah.
I forget what
and
it's called.
I think it's a free... I'm gonna stop talking.
Okay, number two, Bobby. I guess I'm doing all these since I've already read all of them.
All right, go for it.
Okay. You play... It's a open world post-apocalyptic...
narrows it down to half PC games.
And when you were playing in the beta, it felt like you were playing in Jell-O.
Oh, Jell-O. DayZ.
Yes.
Nice. Very nice.
Remember that key word.
Zombie Survival, Griefing, Scavenge, and Nick were the other ones.
Nick.
Do you want me to do...
Yeah, do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's one more. Okay. Last one. Okay. Okay. One of the items is a toothpick that you can pick up.
You can pick up a toothpick in this game?
He hasn't played it much.
Or a burnt penny.
Binding of Isaac?
Oh, man!
All right. That was a good game.
Did you actually ever pick up the burnt penny, or were you like...
No, but I know that you can pick up pennies, so...
Oh, I see.
I figured there might have been a burnt penny in there.
Nice.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad.
I fucked up on Mirror's Edge, though.
I also want to lead off with a couple of things. This is going to be the last week that you can go and review and enter for our $100 giveaway.
Cheers, by the way.
Yep. We made it to the front page of iPhones. If you look on iPhones, you're on the front page. But if you do it on a Mac or a PC, we're not quite there. You can just see the corner of us on iTunes. Yeah.
We're peeping like Javert.
So we're almost there. Need a few more reviews. Right now, you still have like a 1 in 22 chance of winning, so it's really good.
And that grand prize is a $100 gift certificate or Steam money. $100 in Steam.
Yep. And so, if you're a new listener, which we have more of.
Are we giving it out next week? Or?
Sure. That sounds about right. We'll do it on the next episode.
Okay. So we'll close. When is it officially closed out? Friday? Or we'll go through the weekend?
We're recording late next week, so...
Yep. So we'll go through the weekend.
Yeah, through the next weekend.
Okay.
And for all the new listeners, just real quick, I'm Ender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy.
And I am Robert Digital.
Cool.
Pew, pew.
Shall we get into the games right away?
Sure.
Switching up. We haven't gotten right into games for a while.
Well, last week was a slew of new information.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we talked a lot about GDC last week, but we didn't talk about the games there.
Yeah.
There really wasn't much that we didn't know about. There was more cool little things at PAX East, you know, so many indie games coming out. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah, we didn't really... I didn't hear a whole lot about PAX. There was a lot of GDC stuff.
So, Chad, you have done... what have you been doing? You look at what's on sale, and then you rate it by highest rating, and just go by that?
Because
you got some winners this week.
I did.
Like three.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been having some sales going on, so I've been really trying to trust the user reviews on Steam. That's kind of my new go-to thing. I don't look on Metacritic. I don't do anything else. I look at Steam reviews.
What's your limit, though?
If it's in the 90%, I kind of take it. But then again, there are visual novels that are in the 90 percentile, too. So I'm using a little bit of... Well, I think people that are into visual novels are saying that...
Nobody's into visual novels.
You show me someone who's into visual novels.
I don't think...
You show me one person.
I don't think the United States is the target market for visual novels, you know? But
that's still a stretch, man. I would really like to talk to someone who enjoys.
What I almost
games.
Bought this week was Honey Pop
or Honey Pop. Talking about.
So
wait, how do you? Okay, you already know you hate these things. Why are you keeping track?
They're always on the front page of Steam.
This one's not actually a visual novel, but it runs the same adult theme that most of the visual novels do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been looking at. And then, you know, if I see a sale or whatever, I don't buy a lot of games, so I'm a little bit thrifty on my games, but I'll buy a $20 game if the price is right. It's, you know, if it's
90% or better, that you're talking overwhelmingly positive, right?
Yeah, but I don't need like 20,000 people to review it. I'll pick up a game with 700 reviews that are overwhelmingly positive. Yeah, so this week, I saw a game, Grim Dawn. It was 50% off. It was regularly $24.99. It was on sale for $12.99. It's kind of like a top-down game that's...
It's a Diablo clone.
But it's set in a world that has, you know, guns. It's kind of not post-apocalyptic.
I would say it's about the 1800s.
Is that...
Yeah, it's like a timepiece, I think.
Yeah.
It's around the 1900s or so.
Yeah, so it
So there's guns, but the guys are like wearing like a leather coat. He's not wearing like, you know, a robe. There's no robes. It's just like real stuff that you would find in like London in the 1900s or something.
Yeah, and the shield, for example, is kind of like a driftwood shield is what I'm using when I start off with. But I've been having a blast with this. It's still in early access, although they say it's scheduled to release soon, so it's getting close to being ready to go. The art looks really good, right?
Yeah, the graphics are really good. This game does everything right. It takes all the... I actually went onto the curator page and wrote it up because I really enjoyed this game. It takes all the good stuff about a dungeon crawler and trims all the fat that you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just even little things like... You know, you can only pick up 20 health pots and then you have to make a new stack. And all of that means it's just more inventory management. This one, infinite stack of health pots.
Yeah.
I know that seems like a little tiny thing, but it's details like that throughout the game where there's anything that isn't necessary is not in this game. And a lot of times tutorials when you're just starting, this game is pick up and play. If you ever played any Dungeon Crawler, you're just gonna start playing.
Yeah.
It's super easy.
If you played Diablo,
yeah,
this is the same controls and everything.
Right. And what's interesting is when, you know, usually they have the tutorial and they just bombard you with like this, here's the blacksmith, this is how this works, this is it. But I didn't get the blacksmith until like 3-4 hours in.
Yeah.
So you know, little by little, you're getting these little things and how they work.
One merchant, right?
One merchant, yeah. That's it. Super easy. Like I said, they trimmed all the fat. It's pure dungeon crawling. If you even like them a little bit, highly recommend this game.
Yeah. What has been your favorite part so far? So you're playing it on the Family Share off my account because at this point, it's no longer $12.99.
And honestly, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it this much.
Yeah.
I think this is better than Torchlight.
I think so too.
That's hard for me to say because that's my favorite dungeon crawler. So, it reminds me a lot of what's the one that we all play together, Bobby?
Path of Exile.
Path of Exile. Yeah. But the graphics are in that vein, but nicer.
It's got a very dark feel. Like there's like people like strung up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not like Torchlight is very
colorful.
Cartoony. This is dark, gritty.
Yeah.
One of the changes that I really liked is I really like how their I think they call it Constitution works.
Oh yeah, that was very clever.
So you have a health bar, and you're in a fight, and you're getting hit. Your health bar goes down. You complete the fight. Your health bar, once the fight's done and you're out of combat, your health bar basically jumps back up to full. But you've got like a secondary bar that's connected to your health bar that will drain a certain amount. And so that's your constitution. So if that runs out, you don't get your health regen to work.
In between fights.
In between. So you can refill your constitution by going back, eating food.
Eating food, which randomly drops.
Which randomly drops.
And speaking of random drops, there's another thing that this game did, I see. I'm not overwhelmed with a bunch of shit to look at all the time.
No.
I don't constantly have to be comparing this or that. Right there, it's your DPS. Do I want this? No, I don't want it. This is the difference in your armor. Oh, no, don't want it. And there's not a ton of it. It's not sparse enough that you're like, what's the point of this game? And it's not overwhelming enough where all you're doing is comparing items all the time.
Yeah, agreed.
And another nice point was how, Chad, the first time I ever heard was loot piñata was out of you.
Yeah.
They literally put a piñata in the game. Yeah, what is it, heroic rewards or whatever? After you kill a boss.
Oh, yeah, it's got a little...
It's a disco ball. And you have to shoot it and pop it, and then all the good...
I was wondering what that was...
Yeah, I think it's a little homage to the...
Gotcha. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
The other thing that's nice, there's only three skills you can level up. Not skills, only three...
Stats
you can level up.
Lots and lots of stats, but three main stats that they all branch off of.
Yeah, but when you level up, you only get three options, right? Or do you have more than three options?
That's it.
Spirit, agility, and strength, or something like that. And then their skills menu is cool, too. Yep. It's got a cool mechanic that I have never seen before. And maybe this isn't new, but I've never seen it before. So there's like a bar at the bottom.
You get 3 points.
Yeah. There's a bar at the bottom that you can put points into. And when you hit, like, if you put 1 point into it, you get to one, and then it'll unlock other skills. And you can put points into those skills then, or you can put it on those bar and increase your bar up, and say when you hit 5, new skills open up. So you can either put points into your skills
to level them up,
or you can put points into this bar, which doesn't give anything, but lets you get to the higher skills. Right?
So, yeah, it's like a bar graph,
basically.
You can't get to the stuff at the end unless you've invested on the bottom, which doesn't get you anything except for unlocks.
And then they've got a hybrid
skill. How'd you do it? I went straight from the bottom. I went totally bottom.
Oh, no.
Half of myself.
I will put 1 point in, and the first skill that the demolitionists get is fire. It adds basically explosions to your basic attacks.
Mm.
I put 12 points into that.
Mm.
That's kind of like my auto attack thing.
Right.
And then I went up to 5, and the next thing is... You can lob Molotov cocktails, basically. Oh, yeah. And then I started putting 12 points into that. So, like, I haven't gotten beyond 5.
If somehow you've never played a dungeon crawler, my biggest... Like, I'm playing on hardcore right now, and I played 5 hours. I haven't died yet. So, if I die, that's it. I turn this game into Binding of Isaac. But if I can give you one suggestion, try to get as many passive skills as possible.
Yeah.
You don't want to be thinking about all these buttons you need to push.
And that was my problem with Diablo, is there was so many abilities.
There was a lot.
And I just was like, give me the two, and let me push left click, right click, and let me just mindlessly play this game.
This game does a really good job of that. There was, you know, little lulls of boredom, but that was crushed by, let me see what's next, you know? And that's what a dungeon crawler is supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you think, Bobby? Is this sounding like something that you would want to play?
I don't know. I'm not particularly fond of dungeon crawlers in general.
Except for Path of Exile, that one time.
Yeah, that one time. I did enjoy Path of Exile.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Played it through, beat it, and then the fun was over. I tried to get into Torchlight. I played Diablo quite a bit and just didn't like that. I don't know. I mean, I'd be willing to give it a shot. It's got that early access blue tag that I love so much.
Well, like I said, it's not early access. They're just cleaning up some things and they're calling it final.
I ran into like two or three bugs, but they weren't game breaking. I just kind of ignored them. It wasn't a big thing. The music was way too loud, but there's you can adjust everything to it. It was way too dark, so I had to do some adjusting. The graphics weren't where the recommended settings weren't anywhere near what my rig could do, so I turned all that things up. So there's some tweaking you have to do.
But Bobby likes that. That's a bonus for Bobby.
Yeah, that's true.
This was released on November 5th, 2013, so it's been out for a long time now.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's multiplayer, too. Co-op, I'm assuming, local and online?
Yes. Well, we haven't actually played it because, like I said, Emilio hasn't bought it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'll set up my family share with you, Bobby, and you can give it a go.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, this would definitely... Dungeon crawlers, I find, are a little more tolerable with friends, though. Like, we played most of Path of Exile together, Emilio and I.
Yeah.
So, that made it a lot better.
You know, and they had that DLC, and we never played it, and it was free.
Well, it came out way after, like, way after I was playing that game. You know, we played Path of Exile, and I think, like, when we started this podcast that long ago, well over a year ago. And then when the DLC came out, that was, like, what, a couple months ago?
Yep.
Well, yeah. I think that's a smart move to release free DLC after your bump has already passed to see if you can get any spike of like, it's either that or you
people
start
coming
a new,
back.
Yeah. You either start a new IP or you do something.
Well, a big
like
part
that.
Of that, I think, too, is that it puts you back on the Steam front page and gets you a little more noticeability.
And, you know, if they had said it's a paid DLC, you either do paid DLC right when it comes out or you do free DLC, you know, down the road.
I don't know if DLC is enough to bring me back to a game. Any game, really. It could be Borderlands, and they come out with a brand new DLC. I don't think that's really going to bring me back. I don't know.
One of the things that I like about MOBAs is that when a new character comes out, it totally changes the game, because you are that character.
It's like a little tiny, tiny, tiny DLC.
But that's what I mean. Like, if a DLC is coming out, and it's a game changer, meaning, like, there's a new character, or there's a new, like... a new way to play the game, then I would go back to it, you know. For like Borderlands, sometimes comes out with new character classes.
Yep.
Like that would get you back in the game because it's a whole new experience, right?
Yep. I bought a DLC just so I could play Mechanist or something like that. And the Borderlands 2, there was one that was like robot centric, and I was like, oh, I gotta play this.
Gotcha.
So cool.
Right. So what's going on? Oh, we had a listener questioner. Bobby, hit us up with it.
Okay, listener question. We're doing that a little early in the show, but it's all for
because we're setting up a segue.
We'll call the segue right here.
So in our Steam group, I feel bad because we answered these on the podcast, but we don't answer them like in the forums sometimes. Yes. We should probably do both.
Yes, we should.
But in the forums, David is Winning asked, what are some crappy games that you actually enjoy? That's a good question, too, because it's good to question the reviews and the Metacritics and stuff like that and not live by those. You know, just because something got like a 50 or a 60 on Metacritic doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it, or if you do enjoy it, then like you have horrible taste in games.
Yeah. Like the Goat Simulator, that got horrible reviews, and some people really liked it.
That's an exception. Those people were actually. I don't know. I haven't even played that game, but the idea of that, like, let's make a game about this one note joke, I just found so offending for some reason.
Bobby, what's yours?
Oh, we're gonna start with me.
Yeah, okay.
We've been talking the whole time.
Yeah.
My answer is definitely Duke Nukem Forever. Yeah, no. I played that game twice. It's one of the few games that I've ever replayed. And I played it a second time just to see. I played it the first time right when it came out, before I read any reviews.
What'd you pay for it?
Nothing, because I downloaded it illegally. And then I bought it legally.
Okay.
For $5. And just to play it and see if it really was as bad as everyone was saying it was. And I still don't think it was. I don't think it was anything special. I don't think it was anything great. I don't think it deserved some of the negative reaction that it got, though, and I think a lot of that is due largely to the fact that it took 12 years to finally come out and just went through so much and kept people hanging for such a long period of time.
I really like that you played it without the review and then, you know, got your own, because you don't know how much you're influenced by these things, right?
Yeah. And sure. I think a lot of people are. And I think it's for that very reason that I mentioned early. Like, they read a review and other people on Steam are saying, this is a shitty game. This is dumb. You know, this is what's wrong with it. And then if you speak up and say, well, I kind of liked it, then you, you know, then people think you're the fool. So I don't know.
You know what we should do? Like the next AAA title that comes out, we should buy one copy and I'll share it and get our own reviews and write them down beforehand so that we, and not read anything online and then compare all.
Wow.
Just completely lock out any sort of media. There was a time when that.
Complex strategy right there.
I mean, that would be hard to do though, because it's hard not to hear about a game when it comes out and how it's been received by the audience.
Where do you guys get your news, your gaming news? Do you have it? I mean, I'm on Twitter nonstop, so, but that's my job.
The majority of mine probably comes from Steam at this point. I don't even check Metacritic too often. Sometimes I do. They show the Metacritic on the Steam page, but a lot of times it's the Steam user reviews and, I don't know, just people I talk to on Steam as well.
I don't know. Like I said,
this podcast. Yeah. When you sit down.
Yeah.
But there was a time when you didn't have all that, and you got a game and you played it, and you had your own opinions about it. Maybe some kid down
Nintendo
the street.
Nintendo Power was your
Nintendo Power, but they didn't actually even do reviews.
They didn't.
I used to get
everything was great, dude. It was Nintendo.
Who was the one with the faces? Was that
just think about
pro,
like
Pro Gamer? Was that? Do you remember?
Oh,
that?
Game Pro.
Game Pro was that the one that had the faces and it was how smart. Bobby, you know what I'm talking about?
How excited the face was.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think. There was a magazine that I got all the time back in the day, and it later either got bought out or turned into IGN. I can't remember what it was called, but I read that religiously. Like, back when magazines, like physical magazines, were a thing. Cannot remember what that was. But I don't know. They talked about games, but I don't remember them giving, like, a flat-out review.
Yeah, maybe they didn't. I don't think they did either.
Yeah, I don't think that was as big of a thing.
Nintendo Power.
Oh, of course
not. Oh, not Nintendo Power, but I'm thinking about this other magazine that I cannot.
Nintendo Power only featured Nintendo games. They're not going to say anything shitty. It's like, do you think I'm going to say anything bad about myself in Emilio Weekly? No, dude, it's all going to be.
Some people are honest with themselves. I don't know.
It would be honest and without negativity.
So you. Emilio Weekly. So you have a magazine about yourself that comes out weekly.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot going on. Situation.
There's a lot going on. Besides the podcast, I don't even talk about the podcast in Emilio Weekly. That's how much shit's going on in my life.
And then he's got another podcast to talk about Emilio Weekly. It's just
no, but pages. I like where your head's at.
All right, Emilio, what's your crappy game?
I'm going to go ahead and say Alien Colonial Marines.
Okay.
Nailed Colonial. I said it. Without sort of. Fucking up.
Colonial.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of agree with you on that one, too.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it when we actually played it, but we played it 2 years after it came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
About two years.
And there were still bugs.
A lot of the bugs were worked out. All the worst parts were... Plus, I played with Bobby, who, despite what you might think from the podcast, is actually fun sometimes. And so we had a good time. We played through the whole game in, what, 3 nights maybe?
Yeah. That was when Steam streaming was coming out too, and we had some fun experiences with that. And yeah, I mean, that was just like some random shoot 'em up game. And yeah, it was buggy as hell and it wasn't great, but it was just, you hear so many negative things about that game that when you actually play it, you're almost like, well, this isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. But
the first Alien did bug out.
Oh, yeah.
When I played by myself, he just ran into a wall and got his ass stuck in there.
Yeah, and there was a cutscene where it totally glitched. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad, but still, it was kind of like fun to laugh at. But funny how we both mentioned Gearbox games that have just got thrashed, you know?
How do is Gearbox still around?
Oh, yeah.
Gearbox is
Gearbox,
huge.
Well, they made for as many misses as they've had, they've had some really big wins.
Do they have an AMB squad? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut
I don't think so. I don't know if they're that big.
Don't they? They're Australian, or am I thinking 2K games?
Well, 2K is the publisher. I don't know. Right. All I know is Randy Pitchford's like the head dude up there, and he's always at these events, and he actually seems like a pretty cool guy, although I've heard bad stories about him, but you can't believe everything you read. Anyway.
Yeah, I read his editorials. He comes off really intelligent. I heard him on a podcast. He's smart.
Yeah, every time I've heard anything that he's done, I've actually been really intrigued with what he's had to say. So I don't know. It's kind of given me it's made me kind of warmer to Gearbox and their games.
But I agree. He speaks like I would speak if I were eloquent. So good.
I don't know if this is a cop out or not, but I'm embarrassed to tell people I like this game. And I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Marvel's Avengers Alliance, the Facebook / mobile game. I got hooked on it on Facebook and played that thing for like 8 months straight. And then I stopped playing because I realized it was a Facebook game. And then it came out on mobile, and now I picked it up, and I'm having a hard time putting it down again.
You know it's designed to get you addicted.
See, this is the conversation. I'm not happy to tell people I like to play this game.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't... But I don't think it's a crappy game, but I'm embarrassed to tell people.
Bobby, we got to talk to Chad about his heroin addiction.
It's like intervention. It's like the slot machines and the blackjack tables, man. Yeah. That's...
But I challenge anybody that's a Marvel fan not to play these games and like it.
I played a little bit of the Alliance. I don't know. Only like 5-10 minutes, so I really get into it.
Yeah, but...
But I go in with a shield of knowing what I'm getting into, you know? Like...
Yeah.
I'm wearing a knowledge condom.
No, you have your frowny face on. You have your frowny face on, and you refuse to smile, even though you know you want to deep inside.
But even if I like this game, I won't like liking it. So why get into it in the first place? Right? I'm going to hate myself for liking it.
Okay.
I think it goes back to a discussion we had like a podcast or two ago about substance and mobile gaming and how, I don't know. That's just me, actually. I just feel like a lot of these mobile games don't have much substance.
Okay. I'm just saying.
But what is that your game?
Yeah, that's what I'm picking.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to... Let's talk about that game.
Okay. Well, the reason we're bringing this up now is because there was a midweek sale that was going on all week. So I did my thing where I looked at the sale, I organized it by user reviews, and I started going down.
Which is super smart. I like it.
The very first
one, that every week.
The very first one on the top of the list was 96% approval, and it was 87 cents. And I didn't even look at it. I just bought it. Like 87 cents. What's not even a dollar. I couldn't even get a cheeseburger from McDonald's for that price. So I bought it, and it's called One Way Heroics. And so it's kind of got a top-down Zelda look to it.
But
so
if you were to zoom out. Yeah.
So I get in there and I start, and you start off in this castle, and the king says, "You're the only one that can save us. Please help us out."
Very generic stuff.
So
Dragon Quest,
yeah, yeah.
Have you ever played any of that?
So I start off and I start wandering around the castle, and while I'm wandering around the castle, I'm realizing that the screen is moving to the right, and I'm like, "What is going on here? There must be some sort of bug here, or something that's going on, because it just keeps moving to the right." And I see a treasure chest up there, so I'm wandering around trying to figure out how to open this chest. Finally, I realize that, oh, I'm supposed to attack it with my sword. It's like a crate. So I attack it with my sword. It opens up, and the edge of the screen hits me, and boom, I die. I'm like, what the fuck is going... What sort of crappy-ass game... How is this 96... So I'm like, I gotta get back in here. So I get back in here, and I realize... The point of the game, so the monster, so at the very easy setting, the monster's set 400 kilometers away. Kilometers, I think, is what it's set to.
Sure.
You can only go right. The whole screen is moving right, and every action you take shifts.
You can go left.
I mean, you can go left, but the screen is constantly shifting right with every step you take.
Not just step. Any action, whether it be...
anything you do.
Switch something in your inventory, attack, run away, move... Use a spell. Everything takes one tick, if you will. Yeah. And that tick moves the death one space over.
It's like a wall of death is coming, and you just have to keep moving right because this wall of death is coming.
And there's plenty of time to move. Like, you don't feel like pressured very often. But then they put these tasty morsels here and there that take time, like these little tiny dungeons.
There's these little dungeons.
Where you have to... It sounds like you go in somewhere. No, this dungeon is just a square, and this square has a door, and that door has a crate. So you have to knock down the door, which takes 3 turns. Tick, tick, tick. Then you go inside, and then there's monsters. Killing the monsters? 4. Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
Then opening the crate? Shit, I'm out of time. What do I do now? because now the wall's all the way back up to you. It's actually really clever.
Yeah, it is a clever mechanic.
Yeah, it's, and it's fun. I liked it way more than I... When you first start... When you take your first look, you're like, oh, this looks like a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And it kind of is in that the UI is... You know, you can tell one dude put this together. The UI is all over the place. Nothing is intuitive. Nothing like that. But once you realize that, oh, I can go as slow as I want.
It's turn-based.
Because the thing doesn't move until... So now I can get through all these shitty menus and do what I want and take my time doing it because... So, yeah, it's a, like you're not fucked until you fuck yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to plan ahead because you. I got to go in this door. Oh, and the other thing is you can destroy anything. Like, if you're trapped in the thing and you're... If you're trapped in a dungeon and the door's gone, you got to... break the wall out and go through the wall. So there's like ways to get around it, and they've got mountains that you can climb, but it just takes time. You know, yeah. Like so everything
climbing a mountain takes double time, yeah, or triple time.
Yeah, everything just takes time.
Yeah.
So figuring out how to do it. The other thing that I thought is cool. It's almost a roguelike in that after you're done, you accrue these hero points, and then these hero points...
It is roguelike. Yeah. I would say, yeah, it's...
And these hero points can be used for certain things. So you can open a dimensional vault, and after every run, you can put stuff in your dimensional vault that you can take out next time. Or you can open classes.
What he's saying is passing things off to your next guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Your next playthrough. You can just pass them off. But you need to spend XP points in order to unlock this ability, which you could be spending on other stuff, like... New classes.
Or swimming, the ability to swim faster, or the ability to climb faster, or lockpicking. Or...
It's all about setting yourself up for the next...
Do these abilities persist through death?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
So you level up even as you die, kind of like a Rogue Legacy type thing.
Exactly. But it's not leveling up. You just get these certain things that you can do.
Yeah, perk system.
The other thing that is cool is all equipment have durability. Like, there's nothing permanent. You can't just get the sword and suddenly you're badass for the rest of the game. Everything fucking dies. So, you're constantly basically starting over. So, even if you put something in there for your next run, that's going to die before you get to the end. So, you got to kind of plan that out ahead of time.
So, Chad comes over to my room. He's like, dude, you got to play this game. But he doesn't tell me the whole mechanic. Because he wants me to die in the castle like he did.
Like I did.
So, but I got out of the castle. I start to get going. And I'm looking around and I go, oh, these are what items look like. Okay, I picked up a couple of items, killed maybe one mob. And then I was like, oh, wait. There's a fucking
sword.
There's a sword.
Yeah.
Let me go pick up that sword. I had to walk backwards to go pick it up. Meanwhile, every step that I took, it's like cars going towards each other. Because every step back makes the wall go forward, and then I died. I was like, what the shit?
And I'm laughing like...
Yeah. He's like, finally! Vindication!
Yeah. Did you end up beating the... So the point of the game, at least for the easy levels, is to beat the demon... master, whatever.
No, I never played it again, but what I did end up playing over again was Eco Warrior or
Neo Scavenger?
Neo Scavenger. Yeah, I played that. Chad talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked it. Remember I was saying how much all the points that he was making made it sound so good. Basically, though, I didn't know it was almost a text adventure. It might as well be a text adventure. You're talking about like... what is that? Gate?
Something? Boulder's Gate?
Mines of Dreadmoor or whatever?
No, the thing that just got remade. Anyway.
Shadowgate?
Yeah, Shadowgate. Wow. Nice one, dude. Because you never played it, right?
No, I never
Good
played
job,
Shadowgate.
Good job, dude. Yeah, Shadowgate. It's basically some text and a few options, but there's a lot of depth, way more than Shadowgate. It's just like, this is what's going on. What's your choice? This is what's going on. What's your choice? But it's not really showing it to you. There might be a one frame. So it's a text adventure with a little with bells and whistles.
With some graphics overlay.
Yeah. But eventually I did get to the point where I had a shopping cart. And I had some tarps in there. I was like, I'm going to build me a fort. And I was pulling a kayak with a string that had gear in it as well. So can you imagine how much fucking noise this guy's making through this scavenging land where everybody wants to kill you? I also took out two guys with a spear, and one of them had a gun, so it's pretty...
The combat, although it's basically text-based, is kind of fun. Like,
it's kind of fun, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do your action, and then you kind of try to have to read and see what the outcome is.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So, we're making the most of the family.
I would not pay $15 for that game. Maybe not even $5.
$15? That doesn't sound right. How much does that retail for?
That's what you paid for, right?
I'm not sure. It might be.
Yeah. I would play like $4.99. Not $5, $4.99.
Bobby's looking this up. No. We're talking about Neo Scavenger.
No, One Way Heroics was only... How much?
87 cents.
Yeah, I was going to... Oh, yeah. I thought that's what you were talking about. You know, out of the games that you talked about last week, I thought The Escapist looked a lot better.
Well, we'll set up Family Share, and then you can play The Escapist, and you can play One Way Heroics, and you can play Grim Dawn.
I have One Way Heroics. But we probably should have made it more clear last week that there's two games, The Escapist and The Escapists, plural. And you were talking about the plural one, The Escapist.
Is there a singular
that's
one?
Not what you said. You said The Escapist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is also a review site.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I definitely mean The Escapists.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you were...
Do you know how many people spent $4.99 instead of $17.99?
It's got a jewel on the eye, so it must be good.
You would know just from looking at it that that's not the game we were talking about.
Jeez. Yeah. Whoa.
What's going on?
Take it off. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's making me
mostly
dizzy.
Negative 11 reviews. Okay.
Wow.
What do we got next?
Upsilon Circuit. Now, was that debuted at PAX East?
Yeah, did you read it as well?
I heard about it. Interesting concept, kind of a Running Man type of deal. Not so much a game, but like a game show. So the idea is 8 people can play this game at a time. People who watch generate some sort of currency as they watch, and they can spend that to spawn enemies in the game. So it's something that thrives on having a high viewership. And once someone is knocked out, one of the 8 players is knocked out, they can never play again. So it's kind of like being a contestant on The Price is Right or something like that. I mean, maybe you can come back to that show. I don't know. But the idea is that they're running this game show where people come on and they, you know, compete with everybody watching, and they last as long as they can, then they get rid of them and bring in a new contender. And I don't know. That's an interesting concept. What do you think about that from a gaming perspective?
Well, remember when somebody was saying, what's your favorite thing about games or whatever? And we said concepts. I think me and you said concepts. Mm-hmm. Who knows if this is going to work? It probably isn't. The servers are only going to be up for 2 or 3 hours a day. And during those 2-3 hours, they're going to have a dedicated dude that's announcing what's going on. Now we have Flopsy coming in.
A shoutcaster, huh?
Yeah, and he looks like a total douchebag. You know, and he's going to... So he's, I guess, he's there for all the people watching because there's way more people watching than playing. Bobby, I found it interesting when they were saying that you can spawn mobs and send them after people you don't like. But counter to that, what you're accruing is you're sharing the XP that the players are getting while they're there. So it's kind of weird. So why would you want to kill somebody? I guess you're getting XP no matter who's there.
Maybe you have to pick a favorite and you're getting the XP he's getting. So you're trying to help
super smart.
You're trying to help him out.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I'm sure something like this is probably going to be free to play, or maybe...
Where's the revenue coming from? That's what I want to know.
Maybe it'll be $5, $10.
Do you have to pay to...
They haven't said.
Maybe they got some advertising deal or something like that. Who knows? But I think the idea, just as a concept, doesn't really jive with gaming and gaming trends in general. Because the idea is that this is going to be something happening 2 to 3 hours a day. So it's something that, like a live event that you have to tune into. And I think a lot of gamers are just used to getting what they want when they want, not being on someone else's schedule. I mean, that's how we're used to getting our media these days. And this is more like a TV show, in my opinion, than a game. Yeah. I mean, if you only have 8 contenders at a time, I mean, where's the sign-up list for that? How long are you going to be on that until you actually get in there? Chances are you're going to be a viewer.
It is
but
a
check
TV
it out,
show.
Dude. But you guys, check it out. Not millions, hundreds of thousands of people are on Twitch right now watching, spectating only. Now, it's going to be spectating with the option to buy, if you will. Like, you're going
to... Well, not to buy, but to have some sort of input in the game.
Yeah.
Some sort of effect.
And you might get pulled in at some point. You know, you never know.
It's kind of like American Gladiators.
It is a TV show. It's on only certain times of the day. You're basically watching it. Like, it is
just like a Twitch streamer, though. I think it's way closer to a Twitch streamer than it is a TV show.
Yeah.
Because there's interaction. Because you're in there with the chat room. You're talking to each other about the douchebags playing and how you do so much better than that motherfucker.
But do you think the interaction is really going to carry this game? Because I felt like they were trying to do that with Dying Light. And, I mean, maybe that game failed for other reasons. I never played it. Heard it was bad.
What?
But Dying Light. No, not Dying Light's Dying Light.
Awesome.
Something with the term, with the word light in it, and started with a D. There's a lot of games like that.
Cool story, bro.
No, what was the game about?
You had a cell phone, and you were walking around. It was really dark, and you would see, like, scary ghosts. It was basically a rip-off of...
What was the game that... Wasn't the game that you were saying it was the worst... We were talking about it was a horrible title.
If you listen now, call in and tell us we suck. Jesus Christ. I'm
Dead
talking
Light?
About a game. Bobby's trying to divert to another game, and you're diverting to a third game.
Deathlight? Is it the Asian one?
Deadlight? Is that what we're talking about?
No, not Deadlight. That's a 2D side-scroller one. But there's like five games that have the word, that have some form of the word dead in it, and also some form of the word light in it. And this is one of the ones. I could have swore it was Dying Light, but. It's obviously not that.
What? A little tangent here. I was going to say this is like Hunger Games, but I didn't want to say Hunger Games because that's not as cool.
No, I heard somebody else say that.
Not as cool as the original one. What's the original
Harry
one?
Harry Potter?
No, with the Japanese...
Oh, Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's like Royal Rumble then?
Yeah, I guess so. We haven't even talked about the game itself. What it is, it's an action RPG.
Okay, first, before we get further into this, the game I think I was trying to find was Daylight. Does that sound right? Yeah, this one. With the weird text, Daylight. That is the one.
You played it, right, Bob?
Yeah, no. I never played that.
No, but that thing tried to do the same thing where it had some sort of buy-in with Twitch viewers, where Twitch viewers could make something happen within the game. At least that's what they were advertising before it came out. I remember hearing some guy talk about it. But I just don't... I can't recall any sort of instance where that worked, so I don't know if this whole like interactive play... on Twitch being integrated into a game actually, you know, is actually something that people want.
We'll see.
I think these are the like beginning growths of new genres that...
That's what he said.
Like, obviously, it's not going to work the first three or four times.
Yeah.
Just like MMOs, you know, like you had a little start and stutter, and then WoW hit and 12 million people played.
Yeah.
And then you got... MOBA's doing the same thing. They start and stutter a little bit, and then boom, something hits.
And with development being so dumbed down these days, you have so many... I mean, as we speak, how many games are in development that nobody even knows about right now?
Yeah.
Maybe going in new directions. Things like this. Keep going at it, guys. Something's going to come through, and we need new genres. That's what we need.
That being said, I could not be less interested in this game. I don't know anything about the game, but the very concept of me sitting there helping some other dude play the game.
Yeah, you know what, me neither, but then again, I don't really watch a lot of Twitch.
Neither do I. I'm saying there's a lot of spectators.
Maybe we're not their target audience. I don't know.
Yeah.
I watch Twitch and Steam, you know, like I watch this stuff and I got to be hooked on the gameplay to be able to watch this. So the gameplay's got to sell me. And are they going to devote millions of dollars to fucking make a game that eight people can only play at a time?
No, like, it's a very small thing.
I don't know.
It's so more funny. For the viewers.
I saw an interview with the developer, and I saw an interview with a lot of the developers at PAX, and it's a lot different than the dudes at GDC, let's just say.
Okay.
These dudes are stoned, wearing beanies, very hipster-esque. And they're making hipster games. That's what's going on.
Okay.
Basically. And fucking more power to them.
Let's hope we're all for more genres and more styles.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right. So, Hotline Miami 2 came out. It was finally released.
Bobby's so out of the loop. He was looking forward to this, and he didn't even know.
It's on my wish list. I saw the pre-purchase notice coming up, and it was slightly on sale, but... You know, I didn't buy it for the very reason that I think it was kind of criticized in the PC Gamer review. And I haven't read the full review yet. I just kind of glanced at it when I saw you had brought it up, Emilio. But it looks a lot like more of the same thing.
It's exactly what it is. It's exactly...
Is that... Well, it got a 57 on PC Gamer, an 85 on Polygon, and a 78 on Metacritic.
It's all over the place, man.
Yeah, but PC Gamer rated it especially low. 57 is kind of a low score. And is that... Hey, did you read the article? Can you kind of explain why they gave it that rating?
I can't. But what's interesting also is it was so off to everybody else that reviewed it. Two of the other editors sat down with the guy who reviewed it and went over his review. Mm-hmm. With them, almost like a grilling session, you know, like you're on the hot seat. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the attitude was. I didn't read it. But I thought that was interesting that they're like, hey, everybody else liked this. What's up with you? And that's the interesting when you're reading a review from one person, you don't know if that person was having a really bad day. Maybe he broke up with his girlfriend and he's got to get it in that day. That's why, like, I'm very careful when I say that I really, really liked this and or I really, really hated this, because it's always based on your mood. A lot of it, you know.
And that, isn't that one of the reasons you like Metacritic? Is that it?
Yeah, it's a conglomeration.
Out,
exactly.
It smooths out all these bleeding edge sort of stuff.
Now, that said, I enjoyed it. But I enjoyed the first one, except for the ending. And the second one has better music, and the story seems to be even deeper, but will probably end up being nothing, just like the first one. So, that's...
PC Gamer said there was technical issues. Have you run into technical issues?
Not a single one.
Any technical
nothing.
Issues?
Nope. I tried playing it on the controller. I felt like a baboon with boxing gloves on. Like,
this game is impossible on the controller. Yeah. You have to be so quick on it.
Yeah.
You know, PC Gamer, someone in PC Gamer, when this was originally unveiled, I don't know, like a year or two ago at some event, had a problem with some of the sexual violence in it against women and spoke out against that. And I wonder if some of that is coming out in this.
The very first screen that comes up is, do you want the sexual stuff taken out? That's the very first thing that comes up. Before any intros, before anything, there's some sexual shit here. And I said no. Of course.
Of course.
Not 2 minutes later, my character's raping a girl. But then they yell cut. And it was like a movie scene.
Oh, gotcha.
Which somehow makes it okay. Right? So, really interesting. But as far as the gameplay, more of everything you like. There's a few new weapons I've noticed. I haven't got very far at all. I've played one, maybe 2 hours. I caught myself smiling a couple times. Like, I really enjoy... Somewhere around the third level, the music really kicks in. I'm like, fuck, I could just sit here and listen to this, you know?
Does it have that same pull the first one did, though, with the story, where you're trying to find out what was going on? They give you very little, and you get a little piece of the story with each mission, and you think you're getting closer, and then, of course, we all know what happens at the end. But does the second one have that same kind of allure to it?
It's the same, but different, whereas...
Are you playing the same guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Whereas... You were one person and you were getting little bits of his story. Now you seem to be getting little bits of different people's story. And I'm sure they're all going to come together at some point. Plus, you don't know what's real and what's a dream and what's fake. And
well,
what's
that is
going
similar
on.
To the first one. Yeah.
But you think there was multiple people that you weren't playing as different people, were you? In the first one?
In the first one, no. But it's very difficult to tell what's reality and what's
Yeah, yeah. But as far as you are playing as different people in this one, so you're getting little bits of different people's story.
Do they have the mask mechanic that they have in the
first
one?
They do, yeah. And now they have different abilities.
They did in the first one.
Bobby, didn't you say there was different stats?
Or? No, in the first Hotline Miami, yeah, we had this conversation before.
No, I know, I remember that.
Yeah, there's different abilities depending on what mask you wear.
What the fuck? I beat that game without any of those abilities. I know I didn't know it.
There was one that I can't remember which one it was, but I found one that I liked, and I pretty much used that the entire game.
So now one has a dodge roll. Does that sound familiar? And another one has anything he throws is lethal. He has lethal throws.
Hmm.
So that's two of them. Fuck. I'm an idiot. I like the one that... I'm a tiger. I picked the tiger because it roars. I swear to God. I was like, this is the cool looking one.
Oh man, you are the dumbest smart guy I know.
Well, they don't make
the smartest.
They do put it in text under the mask, but the graphics are so low res that it doesn't really stand out. It's not very legible.
This one, it was like dodge roll. So maybe
make it very clear.
Yeah, maybe other people.
Maybe there. You weren't the only person that was playing the tiger because they liked how it rolled. How much was this, by the way?
$15. Yeah. And I picked it up so I could play it today. But I was like, do I want to pick this up? Let me go look at these reviews.
Yeah, that didn't help.
So, yeah, they were all over the place, man. 57 for PC Gamer, like just like Bobby said. So I was like, what is going on? And then somehow I went down the internet rabbit hole. And I started looking
and
at...
And you ended up in porn. I've been there. We've all been there.
It only takes two clicks, yeah. Man. Two clicks, two strokes, any, good
I
night.
Think, I think any you could literally Google anything and you get down far enough and there's porn related
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, for sure. But this time I ended up at IMDb versus Rotten Tomatoes. And the dichotomy between their reviews for movies. Bobby, do you think you can guess what their most polarizing... tied up between what it was like 70 points between them between
IMDb and
Rotten Tomatoes.
And Rotten Tomatoes.
It's an action flick.
I never give much weight to IMDb ratings.
Really? I give more. No.
To IMDb ratings, they have a star system like out of 10, but it could be like 5.7,
which would be a 57.
Yeah, but most of them tend to be a lot lower, I've noticed. Rotten Tomatoes, I don't know.
Well, IMDb has no critics on it. Rotten Tomatoes
are there,
includes
those
critics.
Fan or just user believe, reviews?
Yes.
Okay.
And so Rotten Tomatoes is like a conglomeration of, I believe, don't quote me on this, people and critics.
Yeah. Well, they have two scores, I believe.
They do have two scores.
Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes. I think there's a critics consensus and then just people who like sign up for the website, could be anybody.
Isn't that what Metacritic does also? They've got kind of like the
critic
score.
That one for sure is a conglomeration of critic reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So the most polarizing movie you said is an action movie?
It's an action movie and a
somewhat recent?
Two Brothers.
Is it that Boondock Saints one?
That's it. Really? I guess that's all I got to say. Yeah. 70% difference. 70%. There's a bunch of other ones on there. There was Rambo 4 that was just called Rambo. Did you guys see that movie?
Yeah,
I like that movie.
I'll always remember that movie because that was the day I got a very special item in World of Warcraft. And I didn't want to leave and go see that movie, but all my friends were and I kind of got dragged to it.
But, so you hated it?
I actually kind of liked it. They're just like, you know, we're just going over the top. We're just going to shoot a bunch of people, and that's going to be the whole movie, and that's what this is. You know, don't expect anything. And Sylvester Stallone with his, like, barely coherent one-liners. Why not?
I've got to save these people.
No, that one line was just like, he's just like, you ain't saving anybody or something like that. You know, like the missionaries want to go there and like, help. You know, they made a video game about that that's absolutely terrible. It's on Steam. They made a video game.
A Rambo video game?
Mm-hmm. Based off the fourth one. No.
It should have been a Broforce game.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about some news.
Yeah, let's get into the news.
So, Star Citizen in the news again. So, they're estimating that the game's going to be 100 gigabytes. I don't know why I put GM, but gigabytes when it comes out. So, that's going to be a record breaker, right? No, nothing's even come close, right?
Yeah. You know, they say on Assassin's Creed Unity, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, even Wolfenstein, The New Order, you know, they recommend 50 gigs, but then when you actually install the game, it turns out to be around 35. But that's about the biggest game I've ever seen is 35 to 40 gigs.
So, consoles...
Go ahead.
Sorry, consoles...
This isn't coming out for a console.
Well, consoles use Blu-ray, and Blu-ray is 25 gigs. And you can do up to a quad-layer Blu-ray, which is up to 100 gigs. So I wouldn't be surprised if gaming is related to consoles. You know, like, if consoles drive gaming... We could be seeing dual layer is happening all over the place for Blu-rays, but we will eventually see quad layers, and that would be up to 100 gigs. So Star Citizen may be the first of a bunch that might be coming out that might be.
Well, here's the thing about Star Citizen. They've said, like, flat out, this is not going to be on a console.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, like we said, consoles drive video games in a large respect. And the fact is, all games right now are dual layers at the top end. When it goes to quad layers, we might be seeing a bunch of these because now you're opening up 100 gigs. And developers will use the gigs that are available.
I don't think we're going to be thinking about discs in 3 years. It's all going to be downloadable. Already, every game that you can buy on PlayStation, you could get on the PlayStation Network, correct?
I mean, 90%.
Yeah.
But you're not thinking about this the right way. You're thinking of this as a Californian who lives in a big metropolitan city, in a country that supports their network connectivity.
Right.
You're not thinking about the person that lives in the middle of nowhere who has to get their connect. Their
How can
internet.
They afford a AAA title anyway?
Because you pay $50 and get a disc. That's how they get their AAA titles. I'm just saying the infrastructure isn't going to be there in 3 years to support. In a global environment.
Can we agree that every year...
Yes, we get closer.
Okay.
I don't think we should take Star Citizen as a sign of what's to come for console gaming, because they flat out said this is not going to be for consoles, and they are completely catering towards PC gamers with this one.
Not only are they going towards PC gamers, they're going to every genre of PC. Okay, so there's a flight simulator. There's an RPG. There's a first-person shooter. There's a... direct ripoff of Orson Scott Card's
battle
arena there's a sport. There's a sport that they play, a 3D sport. Okay. Ender's Game is the game, the book I'm talking about. The game they play in there, I don't know what it's called.
What's it called?
Laser Ball.
Battle Arena. No.
I don't even think it has a name. I think it's like you have to go to they call it the area, the arena or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you have a team.
That's terrible that we don't know, considering that's one of
my name's Ender's Logic after fucking Ender's Game.
Look it up.
And so anyway, you're floating.
The battle room.
Or battle school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have a name. So basically, you're floating around, and you have 360-degree movement. You have grappling hooks, maybe. And you're stunning other players, but you're not trying to kill them. It's a game.
Gotcha.
But you could also play the PvP first person. So they're really trying to take the PC gamer life and just put you... It's a... What do they call it? Star Citizen is a first person life. Not a first person shooter. It's a first person life.
It almost seems like Second Life. Like they're just trying to create a world. They aren't really trying to create a game or a single... vision or experience. They're just trying to create a world that you can do whatever you want in. Almost reminds me, you guys never read Ready Player One, but they've got this fictional virtual reality kit that everybody hooks up to and goes into this world called the Oasis. And that's kind of what this reminds me of. It's like you can just go there and chat with your friends if you want. You can go there and you can play games. You can play games within games.
Star Citizen, it will be awesome if they've got the player base behind it. If
they already have the player base,
but what I'm saying
just
is
the backers
alone. Their money.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you are playing the first person shooter part of it, and nobody wants the first person shooter part of it, you're not going to play that. Or if you want to play the battle room, and nobody else is playing the battle room, like it's all dependent on the players to be able to back it up. So
I just had a thought right now. It has not based on anything that I've read, but maybe a first-person shooter would buy just the first-person shooter component, which would be like $15 or whatever, and $15 for each module you might want to play, but maybe like $100 when it comes out.
Yeah.
But fuck.
But it depends on how much your player is incorporated into these other modules, meaning... If I'm playing the RPG guy and I'm leveling up, does that affect my first person shooter guy? Or is that something separate?
Who knows?
Well, who knows when this game's even going to come out? But it couldn't be at a better time, really, with all this virtual reality stuff right around the corner. I mean, this is going to be something that people are going to play in virtual reality. And if it lives up to its expectations, then it's just going to be something that spreads like fire just by word of mouth. I mean, people are just going to say, like, you have to try this. And people are going to get hooked. I mean, it sounds amazing, but again, they keep making bigger and bigger promises, raising more and more money, and still we don't know when this game's coming out.
And speaking of VR,
hey, segue.
Remember last week we were talking about how expensive and how you just can't pick it up at tabletop gaming would be, because it's thousands of dollars for this, thousands of dollars for that. To get an army together, a couple hundred dollars at least,
yeah,
to get your little figurines and everything. But it looks so fun, right? So, tabletop VR, right? So, you put on your headset, your buddy has his headset on at his house, and you're manipulating these 3D things on... Now, the game itself, it's called Skyworld. It's the first one that went in this direction. And it looks super cartoony, and doesn't look great, but... What about when Warhammer 40K gets a hold of this with, hopefully for once, a really good programmer? And you could...
You've liked some Warhammer 40K.
No, I do.
Games.
They're Dawn of War. No. Dawn of War was the second one, right? Bobby? Was Dawn of War the second iteration of their RTS?
I think so. I'm not too familiar with that series.
The first one I loved. The first one I thought was so
I thought
good.
That was Dawn of War, but maybe...
Maybe. It could be. Anyway... and so I've heard these Steam controllers are so good, where you reach down, you grab objects, and you move them physically. So you'd be grabbing your fucking $3,000 dragon, which costs you nothing, or maybe it'd be pay to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
cost you $3,000.
Yeah, and you move it out, and you just decimate the other army. That would be really fun. And plus, the computers are doing all the dice rolls for you, so you don't have to constantly be...
And
you
know, set up your limitations on how far you can move. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. Basically the best of tabletop with a VR.
And maybe one of the best implementations of VR. I mean, that sounds great to me.
Yeah. Do you guys know of a game that was similar to Gravity? I was talking to a buddy of...
Gravity the movie?
Yeah, in the movie.
Space Engineers.
No. I was talking to somebody at work. And
Bob, have you played that, by the way? I know you own it.
Yeah, I have not played it.
Okay. I downloaded it from your account. I haven't played it either. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I...
Because now they're coming out, with Medieval Engineers now.
Yeah, it got good ratings, didn't it?
It does really well.
Anyways, he was talking about somebody playing this, and they had the VR headset. And there's a part in it where they go out into space and they're like losing oxygen or whatever, and you can look down and see the Earth. And he talks about this. He calls it this coming to Jesus moment, where he like sees the Earth and you like really feel like you're out in space. Like this concept of VR, if done right, can have a potential to change the game, and I'm curious to see if it's actually going to do it, or if we're still years away from it.
Well, look, Cliffy B is a backer of Oculus, right? He saw the thing. He gave him fucking who knows how much. He has a stake in that company. He put on the Steam VR and called it a religious experience.
Yeah.
That's his rivals. So he said that it was amazing. Apparently, you know, one of the two robots that you play co-op with,
Watson's the IBM one.
No.
Can't help you.
Come on, we played it together, didn't we, Bobby?
You're talking about Portal 2?
Portal 2.
Oh, okay.
The robots are called...
Tweedledee and Tweedledum?
Yeah, something. Anyway, one of them comes out and he falls apart in front of you. You have to put him back together. And I apparently just felt so immersive that you felt like you went somewhere else. And not one person has said that the Oculus latest dev feels better than this one. So I'm definitely excited. Although I was thinking you're going to have to spend probably about $1,000 for this. Only because of the components. There's the headset. There's the hand controllers. And there's the laser trackers that go around your room. If it was just a headset, I would say, yeah, maybe $500. But you're talking about these other things too. I'm going to say about a grand.
Are you honestly saying that you'll pay $500 for a VR headset?
No, I'm saying that that's what Oculus has set the standard around, right?
Oculus setting the standard at $500?
The first one was $400, right?
But those were dev kits.
Yeah, dev kits. So I'm guessing this is all speculation. the official release will be a little bit more than the dev kit.
No. The consumer release model is going to be $250.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Because they're making a bunch of them?
Well...
Aren't dev kits usually more expensive than the actual product?
Yes, because...
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, because of economies of scale. But what I'm saying is, I don't think the consumer is willing to pay more than $250 for basically a peripheral. I don't see it happening.
It's tough, though. There's never been a peripheral with this much potential.
It's basically a monitor, so maybe you could list it as a monitor.
Yeah.
But do you pay more than $250 for your monitor? I mean, I know Bobby does because he gets the 4K ones. But do you? I'm still using your monitor that you gave me for free.
So. Well, I paid $300 for my monitor.
And that's, I think a lot of people spend that much on a monitor. But a big factor with this is what can you play with it?
Yeah.
You know, you can play anything on a $300 monitor. You can play a handful of demos on a VR kit right now, you know? So it's really going to come down to, you know, that's what I'm saying. If Star Citizen is out, then yeah, people are going to buy this up. But if all these companies, we got three huge companies like investing wholeheartedly in making these and mass producing them, then obviously they believe that there's something there and that this is going to be something that's a game changer and going to be carried on for years and years.
I'm wondering, if I get a VR headset, can I just put it on and make it my monitor? You know, not necessarily have to use the VR component. Just use it as a giant fucking monitor that covers my whole fucking
Sounds
face.
Pretty sweet.
Like, can I do that?
That'd
or is
be cool.
that?
I would say it's probably not good for your eyes.
Fuck but, it.
Yeah. Like, you know, the dev kit we were fucking around with, the resolution was so god awful you couldn't even read text, so good luck using that as your monitor. But you know, the ones that come out, hopefully it'll be a lot better.
There was another story. What was the last one?
Before we go on to that, let's just clarify the robots from Portal 2 was Atlas and Peabody.
You were close.
Didn't I?
Watson, Atlas, that's kind of close.
I just want to throw this in there as a feel-good story because everything's so negative all the time. This war of mine, who already are my heroes because they just said, if you want to torrent this, torrent it. And I had to at the time because I didn't have internet connection for a week. And so I did. I didn't subsequently buy it. I should have, but I didn't. But anyway, they just came out with a DLC. It's called War Child Charity DLC. Really interesting. Doesn't really change the game much. Doesn't add a whole bunch. Basically, all it adds is they got famous street artists and redid all the tagging in the world in the game, and they did all of that. So now the tagging in the game is like top notch, world renowned street artists. 100% of every cent ever made from this is going straight to the War Child Foundation, which tries to feed little kids that don't have toilets
that are in war-ravaged countries.
That's awesome. Yeah, really cool. These guys just continuously impress me. If you haven't played this War of Mine, Bobby and I both enjoyed it quite a bit.
It got the DL
Gaming DL.
Yeah, DL this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a good game.
Not illegally like Amila did.
That's another one that I'm going to throw on the curator page.
Yeah. All right, is that about it?
Well, let's talk about what we're doing next week.
What are we doing next week?
I would love to say that I was playing Grand Theft Auto, but it got delayed again, so...
And speaking of delayed, did you guys hear this? Is this true that the Star Wars movie got delayed 2 years?
I haven't heard this.
Okay.
But I'm not on the pulse of movies.
Okay.
I couldn't... This is crazy. You guys are going to think... I cannot name one movie in the theater right now. Probably. I don't watch TV.
Focus. Is Focus out right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I want to see that.
I can't. Yeah, nothing.
You have no
idea. So as soon as they pop up on Twitter, I'm like, yeah, this looks cool. How'd this do at IMDb / Rotten Tomatoes / Metacritic?
Well, here's the deal, though. You don't watch
radio?
TV. Like, we don't even have radio. We don't have TV in the house.
Yeah.
You don't even have a radio in your car. Like, how do you... There's no advertising. Yeah. The only advertising you see is on the internet.
Yeah.
And all you go to on the internet is porn. So, like, unless there's a porn movie that's coming out.
And the
out,
only thing they're advertising is other porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sweet. You've avoided the man.
Everything you say, and I'm like, yep. That sounds like I would want to live my life that way. Oh, wait, I do.
Yeah. We got to cut out the mail, and then we'll really be somewhere.
All right, so next week, what are we doing next week?
I'm going to actually finish Grim Dawn. I'm having a blast playing it. I'm going to finish it up, finish the story.
I don't think you are, dude. One part of it took me 5 hours. And that's without dying. And like hardcore play. 5 hours for one branch, and I can see at least two more branches. So you're talking, well, it is fun. Yeah. It is fun. Too bad we can't play it together.
Well, you can spend $25 and then you can. And then you can
it is that good, but I really want to play Darkest Dungeon more. I didn't even touch it once this week.
Yeah, I got to play get back into that too. Bobby, what you got?
I've been going through old games that I bought.
you could just take that sound bite and we'll just play it for the rest yeah. of the year.
Oh, wait, I'm not also, talking about old games.
Here's the other one, and I'm going to play from last week. What'd you play this week, Bob?
Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. We played Heroes of the Storm this week.
We did. But I don't know how much we can talk about that.
Yeah, Bobby wanted to put it under the lower than low lights. playing with Chad.
I had a blast.
Yeah, no, we had fun.
I wasn't terrible. And I was playing Diablo.
The game's totally turning into Smite for me. Like, I got a group of people that I've been playing with, and once we team up, it's just win-win-win. And
ooh,
yeah, it's just fun. Yeah, winning's always fun.
But until I get on, and then it's win-lose. No, I did decent. Didn't I do decent?
No, yeah, you did good. Okay. But they reset your score, I guess, because you were in the alpha, and now you're in the beta.
Yeah. But I got up to like level 30 or something in the alpha, and then I got on with Bobby to play with him, and I'm level 1. I have to run the tutorial again.
Yeah, but you probably have that alpha portrait that you can show off.
I do have the alpha portrait. Cool.
But next week I think I'm going to play not old games, but some more recent stuff. I bought Plague Inc. Evolved maybe a couple months ago. Maybe I'll get around to that. Been thinking about doing that one. It's one where you create a virus, try to kill everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I heard people talk about that. It sounds like a mobile game.
I think it was originally, and then they ported it to PC.
Is that the one where it's got people walking around on stage, and you drop your plague, and it kind of turns people into zombies? Have you ever seen that one?
I don't think so, no. It's got like a world map, and then red dots pop up. We'll see. We'll see next week.
Also, I'll be playing Dying Light, because they just got a new DLC. That game is a lot longer than you might think. Like, I got through what I would think was a normal size game, and it was 18%. So I was like, whoa, what the fuck?
Then what was that 18% completion rate, or actually how far you are from the end of the game?
But probably completion rate. And I've been doing all the side quests and stuff too, but.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with those, because I beat a game with less than 50% completion rate.
But how about this? The patch that came through a couple days ago started. There's cars in the game now. I haven't seen a road.
You can drive cars?
I haven't seen a road. So, like, not a legit road that you'd be able to drive on.
Yeah, it's a parkour game.
Yeah, it's a parkour game. So, and they just put it in the game. So, there must be a whole nother section. I just got to a new section.
I saw you playing, and I was like, wow.
I've never seen this before.
It's like Arabian looking and stuff. I was like, what the fuck game are you? Yeah. Oh, you're playing Dying Light?
I didn't even know.
Imagine that would be easy to put in, though, cars, because there were a lot of cars in Dead Light. Is that the right game? That's not the right game.
Daylight? No. Dying Light?
Here we go again. Dead Island.
Dead Island?
Dead Island 1 and 2 had vehicles.
Oh, it did have vehicles.
Yeah. Dying Island? Day Island?
Have they done that one yet? I'm going to make a list of all the games that involve the world light and some sort of form of death. All right. Okay, so are we done?
Sure. You want to bring up the $100 one more time, make sure that everybody's clear on it?
Go to iTunes. If you don't have an account, the chances of you winning are super high. If you ever bought a lottery ticket, the odds here are way better. Like 1,000 times better. And okay.
So tell them what to do.
Go to, so it's kind of hard to find us on
iTunes.
On iTunes. Digital Logic doesn't work.
It's DL Gaming.
If you type in PC Gaming, one of the autofills first is Digital page. Logic PC Gaming.
Yeah. So PC Gaming,
go to our website, dlgaming.net. It'll take you right there.
Yeah, you got a link. It says subscribe.
Yep.
Yeah, subscribe link. Oh, and if you have a subscribe, do that too while you're writing the review to get your big money.
So $100 write a review.
Well, how would you spend
$100 Write a review, and you're in on the $100 thing. We're giving it away next podcast. So you've got this week to do it.
You know what we should have done? We should have bought 100 copies of 2 Second Ninja or something.
One Way Heroics. We could have bought like 120.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing is, if you put a review in, you're always entered. Everything coming up that we're going to talk about with reviews, you're always
Sometimes we get extra copies of games or small gift cards, smaller amounts, and we give those away. So,
yeah, the last one we got, have you guys seen the last one? It was obviously just for getting in the review. We got our first 4-star. Everything else is 5-star.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, good podcast. Check it out. Here's my Steam ID. But good. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
That's
all you got to do.
Yeah. I'm totally happy with that.
Bobby, give us our spiel.
I think we already did the spiel in one way or another.
Okay.
So, VLGaming.net.
Yeah, titties.
There you go.
Titties.